Cardin Roberts on the Fan. Craig is still on vacation. He will be back next week. My old partner, Joe Beningo, filling in. We're now on SNY. Thank you, Grubhub. There is a giant preseason game tonight that you will hear right here on the Fan. And I found out
What'd you find out?
Bob Papa and Carl Banks are doing the game on TV. Okay?
Okay, so who's doing the radio?
On the radio
Paul
tonight.
DeTito.
The one guy from the Nets organization I still like, and that's Chris Carino.
Oh, Carino's doing a giant game.
He's doing the giant game tonight.
Carino is great.
He's tremendous. I also like Ian Eagle and Ryan Rucco, but anyone else associated with the Brooklyn Nets, I despise right now.
Ian Eagle is the premier sports announcer in the country now.
Well, I assume tomorrow night when the Jets play their preseason game, we're going to get Ian
Eagle,
right?
That's right. That's probably
true. Don't we get that?
I think we do.
Now, is there any part of you excited about the preseason?
No. My only concern, and I said this, I talked to Ira the other day. You know, Ira was, you know, was actually had some time when he wasn't sitting in his lawn chair.
Ira in Staten Island,
at camp. The only thing I'm concerned about is that nobody gets hurt. Now, Becton got hurt already.
Yep.
But, you know, that's it. I don't care about anything else.
So would you do what a lot of these teams are doing now? Like, Justin Herbert has never played a snap in the preseason. Has never had.
Right.
We've seen how Sean McVay's handled the preseason, where they basically don't play any of their guys. It appears that Brian Daboll is playing his guys tonight. Would you actually do that then?
Well, how long is he playing him? How long is Daniel Jones playing tonight?
So my interpretation of what Dabes said, because that's what he wants us to call us, Dabes. Dabes.
Dable wants to be called Dabes?
He likes to be called Dabes. You want to call him Dabes or no?
Not really.
Okay. What Brian Daboll has said or has implied is that if they have a three and out, they're going to come out for a second drive to get their work in. If they have a nice, sustainable opening drive, maybe he takes the first team offense out.
He's not even going to play a quarter, Jones.
I don't know.
I think Zach's playing tomorrow.
Yeah, I think he's going to play a little bit.
Yeah, at least a series, maybe two series.
I don't think there's a perfect answer to this, but I'd rather see, especially with a team like the Giants and Jets, I'd rather see these guys play. Like, I understand there's a risk of an injury, but as we've seen, there's a risk of injury in practice. Guys are getting hurt in practice all the time.
Look, I mean, we see it, and we saw it with Lawson last year. We see it with Becton this year. I mean, it happens all the time.
And the truth is, like, with the Giants, with this offense, I want to see it actually do something. Now, it doesn't mean that if Daniel Jones looks great in his first drive tonight that this offense has been fixed.
Right.
No one's going to be gullible enough to believe that. Same with if he sucks. Like, he throws an interception right out of the gate. It doesn't mean anything, but I think with teams like the Giants and Jets, very different than a team with higher expectations. I'd want these guys to play a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, learn how to play together.
Well, the Giants have something going for them. They play in a terrible division.
Yeah, that's
the division's
true.
Terrible. The Jets don't have that. You know what I mean? They got Buffalo in their division.
But let me ask you this.
I don't know how good Dallas is.
What are the Giants?
Aren't any good. I mean, I don't see where they're any good.
Is the quarterback the answer?
Boy. You got to believe that this is it for him. You got to believe that they will draft a quarterback next year.
No doubt in my mind. And it goes back to the old saying we've always had where a new GM and a new coach are going to want their guy.
No doubt.
Like, we saw that with the Jets a few years ago with Joe Douglas. Like, you're going to want your own guy. And I had Joe Shane on early this week as we were at Giant Camp, which was a great experience. We basically sat at Giant Camp alone for the last 4 hours.
We had a great experience once at Giant Camp.
Oh.
The day that the Mets traded for Cespedes. Remember that?
That was
a classic.
That was incredible.
Yep.
But I asked Joe Shane, like, listen, don't you want your own guy? Like, we always hear about this, but isn't it true? And the impression I got from Joe Shane was he was admitting, look, we're going to give Daniel Jones a shot, and we'll see what happens. Which basically means unless he turns into the guy that he hasn't been throughout his NFL career, he's going to be gone at the end of the season.
No doubt.
And when in recent time, not 30, 40 years ago, in recent time in this NFL, have we seen a guy all of a sudden put it together in their fourth season in the NFL?
No. It rarely does it happen.
Doesn't happen.
I mean, look, there's been a few quarterbacks who, you know, really blossomed after years. I mean, we saw it with Jim Plunkett. And when I mean, it was a rod.
But think about how long ago it was.
Right, what I'm saying. But, you know, even Vinny. Even a guy like Vinny, you know, where, you know, Rich Gannon's another guy that comes to my mind. You know, guys who, toward the back end of their career really took off.
Right.
But, you know, rarely year four.
And it doesn't happen in this day and age.
Right.
Like, all the examples I've ever thought about. You know, Rich Gannon, you just brought up, like, it's all 20 plus years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we know the quarterback by, I say, the second year. That's why we'll know about Zach Wilson. I'm convinced by Thanksgiving.
It's a huge year for Zach Wilson.
We're going to know.
Yeah.
We'll know the answer.
Yep.
And then, hopefully, if you know the answer is the negative, you move on. And you try to find the guy that's the answer.
Yep.
There's two other football things. One of which is Tom Brady isn't practicing, and he's been excused from it. And apparently, it's going to be for a while. And they're describing it as a personal issue, but everything's okay.
And what does that mean?
So here's what my interpretation
is. Is he having trouble with his wife?
I don't buy it.
You don't think he's having trouble?
No,
with
I don't think it's that.
Because, that's the first thing that jumps out at me.
You know what I think it is?
What?
How old is Tom Brady now? Is 44, 42. 45?
42. He's more than that.
Isn't he older than that? Is he 44?
Is he 44?
He's an old man.
Well, he is old.
Yes.
By the way, have you seen the 30 for 30 on the Tuck Rule?
Yes.
Oh, that is.
That's an old timer.
Oh, my. Him and Charles Woodson sitting there, the two Michigan teammates.
Yes.
Sitting there talking
basically still arguing about it.
That is tremendous. Have you seen that, Chris?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh,
yet.
My God.
He's 45. He just turned 45.
Wow.
45?
45.
August 3rd.
I am convinced.
That's unbelievable.
What Tom Brady is doing right now is that he went to Todd Bowles and that staff and said, I don't want to practice anymore. I'm 45 years old. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I've been
right.
in this organization.
Right.
I don't want to sweat my ass off at practice anymore.
That makes sense.
And it reminds me it was different when Strahan's final season with the Giants.
Well, he didn't show up. He wasn't there for camp at all.
Correct. I think
and
he
did. And they wound up winning the Super Bowl.
I thought he did it on purpose.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it.
I don't want to go to training camp.
Right.
I'll be there when the season starts. I'm old enough. I know what's going on. I don't need it. I think that's exactly what's going on with Brady because they're describing it as it's a personal issue, but everything's okay. Everything's fine. Ian Rappaport said it on NFL Network. Everything's fine, but they don't expect him back for a while. Yeah.
Like what, opening day?
Would it surprise you?
No, not at all.
And would it even bother you?
Gronk will be back in November.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I mean it. I mean, he'll be there for the playoff run.
I agree.
You know, Super Bowl run.
I agree. And this quote I got to read to you because this is a real quote. Okay, this was not, I don't know if you've heard of ball sack sports.
No.
It's kind of a big thing.
Ball sack sports.
Never heard of ball sack?
Wow. Can you actually say that on the air?
You guys just did.
I guess it exists.
This group creates like stories and quotes that aren't real just to fool us and kind of laugh at people who fall for it.
Right.
This is not a ball sack quote. It's a real quote from Antonio Brown.
Okay. Antonio Brown. Where is he now, by the way?
Nowhere.
Right.
My biggest regret in my career doesn't involve calling my GM I can't really use the word, but it was a bad word.
Mm.
Or showing up to Raiders camp late in a hot air balloon with frozen feet. Or throwing rocks at that UPS driver. And it definitely doesn't involve taking my shirt off and doing a victory lap around the Jets stadium.
Oh, my God.
Mid-game while throwing up
deuces. How was
that
game?
Were you?
That was the game the Jets blew to the Bucks last year. You should have won that game, too.
My biggest regret. You ready for Antonio Brown's biggest regret?
Is?
My biggest regret is that I'll never get to see me, Antonio Brown, play a game live. Sure, I can watch the game afterwards, but I can't imagine what that was like for all of you to see something like that. It's like watching the Beatles or Jesus perform at Red Rock.
Did he really say that?
Yes. What?
He's the ante, Antonio Brown. You know? I don't know about a full deck with Antonio.
No, I don't think so.
You know what I mean? I don't know if there's any full deck there with Antonio.
He just compared
himself. His biggest regret, he's never going to see himself play.
Yeah, he can't watch himself anymore. Mm. It's like watching the Beatles. It's like watching Jesus.
Or Jesus.
He compared himself to Jesus.
At Red Rocks.
At Red Rocks. This guy's special, man.
Oh, my God.
Very special guy.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
That's painful.
How about this guy? Ozzy and Woodridge. Did you miss Ozzy?
Ozzy! How you doing, Oz? You're not there, Oz?
There he is. What's up, Oz?
I'm right here. What's up, guys?
What's happening, Oz?
Yo, Joe, when are we going to tan poolside together with the ladies? Let's go!
I do it all the time with my wife. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I want to be like Biden. I want to feel your Fu Manchu with my fingers.
Oh, my God.
Fu Manchu going on over there.
Stop it. Stop it, Ozzy. Stop it. Stop it, please.
I've
had it for a long time. It just looks more because I'm so white now. You know what I mean?
I got
my hair's white, my face, everything. You know, what are you going to do?
You got your salt. I got salt and pepper.
Do you? But you're a lot younger than me, Ozzy, and probably better looking, too. Well, maybe not.
Well, that's not saying much, Joe.
I understand. No, I understand, Oz.
But I tell you, and another thing, and Terry knows where I am at, right by the steak farm. She knows.
Yes.
She knows this area.
Yes,
well.
We do.
Let's do one of your little podcasts. Get on one of those for you. We'll talk some sports.
Would you want Ozzy as a featured guest on the Oh the Pain podcast? Mm. Was he big enough as a caller? Because I'm a fan of Ozzy, but
Ozzy's.
Is he big enough
Ozzy,
to be
I'll
a featured
say this
guest?
About Ozzy. Ozzy is a very interesting character.
Yes.
And you do bring, I will say this, Oz, you do bring something to the table.
And by the way, I was going to be at Hackensack in my own backyard at the brew house, but Evan told me it was a hoax.
I was kidding with you.
Evan was there. We had well, you know what? We got another one. I'm gonna. Want to show my? Can we do that?
Can we pop, do what?
The Older Pang podcast.
Oh yeah, I got the Older Pang podcast.
Put it on TV.
Look at
there
this.
You go. Look at theirs. We even have T-shirts. Our next podcast, Ozzy, at the Hackensack Brewing Company will be September 9th.
Ozzy, when you
Friday
asked
night, September
me,
9th.
When you asked me, is it a hoax? I thought you were screwing around, so I said, yeah, of course, it's a hoax.
No, Evan was there. We had a great time. He did a great job.
Yeah, I didn't think you thought I was being serious about that.
Are you going to be at the next one, September 9th, Evan?
I cannot attend that.
No, we're trying. I think Brian Costello is going to be there. I think JJ is going to be there, Jastrzemski, and Brian Costello. And maybe Ozzy from Woodbridge.
Yeah, Ozzy from Woodbridge.
You live right around the corner, Oz. Come on.
It's right in my backyard.
It is, of course.
5 minutes.
Right.
But it's glad to hear you on the radio again, Joe. And
thank
listen
you.
To me.
Yes, Oz.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I'm touching the money, whatever boomerism you want to use.
Boomerism.
You tell me an ingredient that these Mets don't have moving forward to sustain a dynasty for decades.
A dynasty for decades?
Ozzie. My biggest concern Ozzie. With the Mets is the bullpen not named Edwin Diaz.
Well, that's in the short term, I 100% agree with you. In the short term, it's the bridge to Edwin Diaz.
Yes.
When he says long term
dynasty. Can we win one?
What are we doing?
Let's get one.
Yeah.
Okay? A long term dynasty. I want sustained winning. This team right now is not a young team, though.
They're not a young team when it comes to their rotation.
No.
Obviously,
no.
Max Scherzer. And not that Jake's old, but it's tough to rely on Jake, which I'd be the first to admit.
Right.
Chris Bassett's not the youngest guy, and I don't know if he'll be here long term.
No.
Same with Carlos Carrasco. And
Scherzer.
When you think about what the strength of the Mets is, it's their rotation.
Yes.
That rotation is probably not going to be the same 4 years from now, but where they do have a chance for sustained success is Pete Alonso should be here for a long time.
Forever.
Jeff McNeil will hopefully be here for a long term. I know he's 30, but he still feels like a young 30.
Right.
Lindor, like it or not, is going to be here for a long time.
Yeah, we know that. 10 years.
And they've got two prospects that are going to be here next year.
Alvarez.
Francisco Alvarez and Brett Beatty, who can make a huge impact on this team.
They just moved him to Syracuse, I see.
They did.
Yeah.
And I think those are guys that will be involved, probably not this year, but certainly next year. So lineup-wise, they have a chance to have this sustained core together. But the pitching, to your point, is old.
Yeah.
And that's why you got to strike when the iron is hot.
This team needs to win this year.
Of course.
Win it all this year.
Of course.
No doubt about it.
Like, there's no question.
Yep.
First of all, I've seen the Mets in the World Series. Okay.
Right.
Now you got to win it.
Yep.
And like we said, with Scherzer and DeGrom, Max is unbelievable. I wouldn't rule out the fact that Max Scherzer pitches all 3 years of this contract and does it at a high level.
Yeah. Oh, I could see that.
And
what is he, 37, Max?
He's 38. He just turned 38.
38. Okay.
But guess who's 39? Justin Verlander.
How good is he?
And he's coming
Justin
up.
Verlander.
John.
Justin Verlander is now on that level.
Yes.
Like I'm putting him up. Like, he's like the modern-day Bob Gibson now.
Yeah, I think so.
Give me the ball. The guy pitches. He's pitching 7-8 innings a time. The guy's going to win 25 games in an era when nobody wins 20. Nobody wins 20.
He's got a sub-2 ERA.
What's he got, 15, 16 wins?
How many is he? I thought it was
at least 15.
Yeah, I think it's about 15.
Yeah.
I forget. Honestly, I've given up on paying attention.
How good
attention
is that guy? Oh, my God.
Dude, off Tommy John.
I know.
I mean,
he's up there with the all-time, you know, the great pitchers.
And by the way, and this is for you Yankee fans, Big Mac, and for Met fans, I guess, Justin Verlander is going to opt out of his contract at the end of the year, much like Jacob DeGrom, because Justin Verlander is due to make $25 million next year. No shot. Why would he stay at $25 million? So you're going to have a guy who's going to turn 40 years old, coming off what's going to be a Cy Young, maybe the best year of his career. What do you give that guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Give him a Scherzer contract.
Well, you give him at least a one-year deal, maybe 2 years. Maybe give him 2 years.
You give him 2 years at 38 per.
Yeah.
38 per?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to look at Scherzer's contract and say, no. Yeah. I want more than that.
Yeah.
Max Scherzer's making $43 million. Verlander and DeGrom are going to both opt out, rightfully so, and they're going to say, pay me more, I'm better. And obviously, it's close, but they can make a great argument that they're
better. They could.
And someone's going to pay him. Now, I don't know if it's going to be the Yankees stealing Justin Verlander, something they should have done this past season.
They should have done it when he leaving Detroit.
Correct,
the first
time.
That's when they should have done it.
Well, that changes baseball history. They do that.
Of course it
does. They do that, they win the World Series in 2017.
Right.
By the way, so here's the deal with the Yankees. They've been bad or mediocre for a while now. They obviously had this bad series loss to Seattle. They blow the finale. All the base running mistakes from game two and the fact they couldn't score.
Right.
And they were
19
terrible.
Straight innings without a run.
Amazing.
You know, unbelievable.
They were, I think.
And
they
had to lose yesterday after they, you know, Cortez gives, you know, is pitching a no-hitter for five, six innings, whatever it was. He gives up that home run to that guy Haggerty, mm-hmm. right? Then they come back. They get the three runs. However you say his name.
Higashioka.
Right. It's a two-run homer. Judge another home run. To lose that game, that was a brutal loss.
Of course. And the biggest problem was Nestor Cortez gets to start the seventh, rightfully so.
Yep.
Gives up the 0-2 hit. Yep. Gives up another hit. And then the guy they go to
Abreu?
Out of the bullpen is Albert Abreu, who for most Yankee fans shouldn't be on the roster.
Yep.
They've got a guy in Marinaccio who should be on
the
roster.
He's in the minor leagues.
But he's in the minor leagues because they couldn't send Abreu to the minor leagues because if they did, he's out of options. He goes into free agency. He goes on a waivers. The Yankees running their roster with an eye on the 40, which is a great point you made, Big Mac, that they're more concerned about the 40-man roster than the 26-man roster, killed them yesterday. They're going to a reliever.
Yeah.
Who, their best reliever right now is in AAA. Now, understand that logic if you're the Yankees. Now, long-term, does it matter? No, he'll be back. I understand. He'll be back, and he'll be at the major league level. But yesterday, in a game in which you wanted, if you're a Yankee fan, you want to win that game. You want to win this series.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the way you lost the night before.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the first series they've lost in Seattle in like 10 years.
More than that.
More than 10 years?
It's almost 20.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, 20 years, yeah.
2002. Think about that.
That's the last time they lost a series in Seattle.
In Seattle.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
No, it's beyond.
And Seattle obviously didn't have their best player, Julio Rodriguez. But the way they lost game two with the guys making base running mistakes, which reminds you of last year. That was one of their biggest issues last year. They're in this weird spot. And I remember the only time I could ever compare myself to this was at the end of the 15 season with the Mets. The Mets had won the division, but they weren't playing great baseball at the end of the year.
No, not at all. They only won 90 games that year.
That's right. And I remember at the end saying, look, none of this matters. They've won the division. They're going to be fine. It's all about what happens when the playoffs start. I know there's going to be some Yankee fans out there who think, Evan, they haven't won the division yet. They're only 9 games up on Toronto. You never know. They're going to win the American League East.
No question.
And a big
They may not finish ahead of Houston, though.
No. That's
now that's a big deal.
They're tied right now, and the Astros have the tiebreak because of the head-to-head.
Right.
But they're not this bad, nor were they as good as they played the first few months.
The one thing with the Yankees is that I don't love their starting rotation. I got to tell you, I don't love the rotation.
Right.
I don't know how you feel about that. I don't.
Well, it's far different than how I felt 3 months ago, that's for sure.
The bullpen is shaky. I mean, this guy Holmes has come back to reality, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, they've had these stretches when they don't hit.
Yes.
You know, they got no hit again by Houston. The day after that, they went like 7 innings again without getting a hit. You know, they have this game the other night where they go 13 innings without scoring a run against Seattle. They've had those moments. I think they miss Giancarlo.
Oh,
when's he coming back? When's Giancarlo coming back?
We still don't have a timetable.
Oh, my God. I mean, he's been out for a while now.
Yeah.
You know, Rizzo came back after a couple days. But they missed Giancarlo, and they've had trouble against good teams.
Yeah.
Well, they've had trouble against good teams.
The Astros, the Mariners, the Mets.
Right.
I mean, look at their record against those teams.
The Cardinals just swept them 3.
First place team.
Right.
Yeah. I think that of all the concern, and you're fair about it, their rotation is certainly not the same as it was a few months ago.
No,
Gerrit Cole's weird right now. He can still dominate like we saw the other night. But
and he gives up 3 home runs in one inning, in the first inning, too.
Right, then he'll give you those clunkers.
Right.
Nestor Cortez has been great.
Oh,
it's tough
tremendous.
To say a bad word about him.
Tremendous.
After that, you don't know if Severino's going to be healthy.
Right.
You have no idea.
Right.
Montas, let's see him pitch more. I mean, he's made one start as a Yankee.
You can't put a lot of stock
so
in that.
I agree the rotation has concerns, and the offense will disappear for periods of time.
It definitely does.
The runs they score per game, which is still, I think, leading the American League, and I still think leading baseball. I have to check the latest. I think despite what's gone on recently, they still lead baseball in runs scored, but it feels like it's such a misleading stat because they do go these periods of times where
they don't
hit.
It's amazing. It really is.
Yeah, they've dropped behind the Dodgers.
Okay.
So L.A. is now number one
Where's
in MLB.
Mets? 3, 4?
The Mets are 3rd. They're right behind them.
Right.
And I'll ask you this right now. I'll ask a Yankee fan, then we'll answer it. Big Mac. Big Mac has become this well-rounded host.
Yeah.
Watches everything.
I was watching Mac the other couple days. Did a great job. Thank you.
The New York Yankees offense or the New York Mets offense? Which one do you take?
The New York Mets offense.
You would?
Yeah. And
you
right now, yeah.
Well, no. You don't even have to say
I mean, healthy and going strong all year long. I like the Yankees offense. Today, I'm playing a game tonight, the Mets offense. It's not even a question.
In general, you get Stanton back. You got your guy back.
It's a different kind of offense.
Dude, it's so different.
It's a totally different type of offense.
Who do you trust, though? Who do you trust?
I mean, it's hard in recency bias not to say the Mets.
But it's, you know what? And I know that it leans that way. Here's why I think it's the Mets either way. The Yankees seem to beat up on teams that bring the stats up, and they go days, like you mentioned, cited the example.
It's unbelievable.
Where they don't hit.
Yep.
Now, the Mets have gone through slumps. I don't want to act like they haven't, but I never felt like they have slumped offensively the way the Yankees have when they
Mets
go through their slumps.
Well, the Mets to me, and look, I'm a Met fan. I understand that. But the Mets to me, they're a deeper team. They got a lot of guys, the Mets. They really do. I mean, the Yankees are top heavy. I look at the Yankees, especially when you got Giancarlo back, you're very top heavy offense. The Mets got all these guys. I mean, Luis Guillorme has contributed this. How good has he been, by the way?
Tremendous,
He might be the best defensive infielder in the game.
Well, Chris Bassett thinks he is.
Well, you know, the play he made, I got to say this because I love Guillorme. The play he made when he threw Darno out at the plate.
Awesome.
Oh, my God.
The best part about that play.
I don't think I've ever seen that play.
Mentally. Like, think about this.
Right.
They're looking for a double play.
Yep.
The runner, Michael Harris, is running. So, in this moment, Guillerme fields the ground ball, knows there's no shot at a double play because Harris is running, eyes Darno down the line with the confidence of, I got enough time to throw him out. So it wasn't even just the execution, because it was a routine ground ball and it was a routine throw.
Right.
It was the brain.
Oh, my God.
Very impressive.
Unbelievable play.
But I don't think us being a Met fan, if anything, and I think we've shown this over the years, if anything, us being a Met fan would lean us towards picking the Yankees.
Right.
Because we have respect for them.
I think we've always been, extremely fair about the Yankee situation.
Sure.
You know? I think we're like that with everybody. I think we've always called it like it is. Whether we like the team or not. That's what we've done.
And that's why, I understand the Yankee fan who's bothered by the way they've played. You should be pissed off.
You should.
But they're in first place by a significant amount, and they're not this team. Like, the way they're playing the line, they're not this team. Now, I'll tell you my biggest concern, more than what we've laid out about the lineup, it's the fact that if Clay Holmes is normal, if he's blossomed back into what he was, which is serviceable reliever but not automatic,
right.
Who the hell is the number one guy in that bullpen that you say, get him the baseball and we'll win?
Right.
It's not Chapman, is it?
No, not anymore.
It's not Clay Holmes. I asked Big Mac the other day, I said, as a Yankee fan, name me the reliever you trust the most.
Yeah.
His answer, Wandy Peralta.
Wow.
And that's all you need to know. That's not a knock on Wandy Peralta. It's where the bullpen is right now.
That's where it is right now.
Yeah. And that's
Chapman will be the guy, though.
You think so?
That's what the Yankees will do. If Holmes is not Holmes, will be
They're
Chapman.
Go back
I don't know. If,
are you confident in him at this point?
No, I'm not. And I'm not sure they are, but that's the guy.
Right.
Oh, I agree. I think when push comes to shove, Chapman's getting the ball, one-run lead, ninth inning.
Oh, no question. Even if they're both struggling, if things are all things being equal, it's Chapman.
Yeah.
Holmes has to be better than Chapman for it to be Holmes.
No doubt. But what's happened right now, and this is good, this is nothing to feel bad about, when the Mets were playing average baseball, the Braves never lost. That's how the Braves cut into the Mets' lead. Wasn't that the Mets were playing badly?
No.
They weren't.
Well, they won. How many games in a row did they win? Like 15 games in a row?
Exactly.
Whatever they were doing. The whole month of June, they never lost a game.
And even after that, they were winning. In fact, even to this day, the Braves win as long as they're not playing the Mets.
Right.
As long as they're not playing the Mets, they win.
Right.
Here's the difference. The Yankees have struggled for a month, and what have the Blue Jays done about it?
Yeah. No, nothing.
What have they done?
Yeah.
And by the way, this is great news for the Yankees, because in
Toronto,
2000, the same
Tampa.
Thing happened. Nobody did anything about it.
How about the Orioles, by the way? How about the Baltimore? You know, I'm paying attention, but I'm not really paying that close attention to American League East. The Yankees got a big lead. Okay. And I'm looking at the standings. I'm like, the Baltimore Orioles are 500.
Yeah.
Now they're like five. They're like a half game out of the wild card.
No, right now the Baltimore Orioles are the wild card.
They are.
They are tied with Tampa for the third wild card spot.
And who's the other one? Seattle?
Seattle.
And Toronto.
And Toronto. But after the Yankees and the Astros, who are both 30 games above 500, there is a monumental drop-off in the American League.
Monumental.
Someone's going to win the Central, whether it's Minnesota, Chicago, or Cleveland. None of them would scare you. And if you're a Yankee fan, you're saying, let's go Twins. Let's bring those patsies on.
Yeah, well,
you have to play them.
Gary Sanchez again, right?
Yes. And then you got Toronto, Seattle, Baltimore, Tampa, one of the Central Division teams. The Red Sox have sort of fallen out of it.
Yeah.
But the Blue Jays or the Rays haven't taken advantage of this. And that's great news for the Yankees. It means that instead of your lead being cut down to five or six, where you'd say, hey, this is a race, the Blue Jays never take advantage of it.
Well, let's be
honest.
Let's be honest about this, too. For all the teams, the division leaders, the team that's got the best team that's behind the division leader is Atlanta. Yes. What are they, 18 games over 500?
They are 66-46.
20 games over.
Yes.
And they're 7 games back.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, so, you know.
The breaks.
But that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, you know, that they're a legitimate team, and they're still, you know, 20 games over, and it's still 7 games out.
Like, if the Braves were competing with the Yankees, you'd be in a pennant race right now if you're the Yankees.
Right.
You'd still have an advantage. I'd still pick you to win the division.
The Yankees,
but
what are the Yankees, 2 games below the Mets now?
Yes. They're 71-41. The Mets are 73-39.
39, right.
But look, I also understand that right now the New York Mets are playing their best baseball of the season, because their stretch to get here was always just being consistent. They never had, like, any kind of big run other than that 6-game homestand where they went 6-for-6.
Right.
They've just been really consistent. This is their best run. They've won 15 out of 17.
Yeah. 6 games in a row. And they had just had that 7-game winning streak, too.
Right. This is the hottest they've been.
Yeah.
This is now the coolest the Yankees have been. So, obviously, we're judging these two teams when the Mets are at their hottest and the Yankees are at their weakest. But if you're a Yankee fan, as bad as this week was, as many concerns as you may still have, they are 10 games up in the American League East. They're going to win this division.
No question.
And it allows you 2 months to figure your you-know-what out before the playoffs
start. By the way, have the Dodgers lost yet with Joey Gallo on the
team? No. They have not.
And they had a big pinch hit home run last night.
What's the record? What are they, 6-0, 7-0 without him?
I think they're 7-0 without him, and the Yankees' record without him.
But they lost the first 5, they lost.
Right. Look, that means it doesn't mean anything.
Of course.
And Joey Gallo, who I think should shut up, by the way.
Yeah.
Because Joey Gallo made some comments after the game. First of all, he talked about how living in L.A. is so much better than living in New York.
Oh, please.
How he had to live in a small New York City apartment. And now in L.A., he's by the beach.
Don't get me going with L.A., okay?
Joey, we don't need to hear
this. Don't get me going. You don't want to hear my thoughts on L.A., do you?
I hate L.A.
Or California in general.
Is there any other comment that he said that pissed you off?
What else did he say?
Well, yeah, I mean, he talked about it was nice to actually be cheered and have the fans behind me. He said that on the field last night.
Is that what he said?
And then he even said something along the lines of, I know they, you know, I guess they, you know, we've won a lot in New York, but we are winning a lot here in L.A.
Well,
something along those lines.
Is that what he said?
Yeah, that comment,
something like that. So bad, but you could tell he's trying, even though the words aren't really filled with poison, he's saying them to try and tweak.
Joey, here's the deal. You got booed. You were probably, I made this point, Joe. You've seen more baseball than I have because you're a little older, just a little bit.
Yeah, slightly.
Joey Gallo is the worst Yankee in the history of the franchise. I can make that point.
Wow.
Look at the numbers. I defy you to find a human being that was less productive with that many opportunities than Joey Gallo.
And that's the key, the amount of opportunities.
Even Horace Clark was a lot better.
Yeah.
Even though he's got a bad era named after him.
I know.
And he was an everyday player.
Right.
But Horace Clark was an everyday player.
Right.
He batted at least .240. This guy's batting .120.
Yes.
No, I know.
You cannot find me someone worse.
I'd have to think hard, long and hard, because I go back to the Yankees in 1961. But I'd have to really think long and hard about that. There has to be someone.
No.
Right? Maybe
you know why, Joe? Because if someone was this bad, they'd get caught in 1963.
Well, that's true.
If someone was this bad, they'd get benched in 1958.
Right.
So Joey Gallo has to understand he was the worst Yankee in the history of the franchise. And what did the fans do that was so bad? They booed him?
Right.
Oh, no. They booed him.
By the way, there are no worse fans in sports than the L.A. Dodger fans.
Yes, I agree.
They are a disgrace.
Yes.
When we were out there for the 3-game series, right? Disaster, Ryan Church, you know, what a disaster it was. Those fans, I can't say enough bad things about them. They make the Patriot fans, the Eagle fans, look like like they're the Cardinal fans, okay? That's how bad the Dodger fans are.
I agree.
Oh, my God, I couldn't stand them.
It's Carton and Roberts on The Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Carton and Roberts here on The Fan. Craig on vacation. He returns next week. Answer me this, Big Mac. I mentioned to you he's called me every single day he's on vacation.
Yes.
He did something yesterday very tricky.
Mm-hmm.
His son texted me asking me to do Craig a favor concerning food in his refrigerator. Doesn't that count as him sort of...
Oh, no question. It's a contact streak.
What are we talking about here?
Craig was on a streak of calling.
I was talking to Oliveira, by the way.
Oh, yeah? How'd that go?
Good. It was great.
Nice. Craig has been on a streak of calling me every day of his vacation, which makes no sense.
Why?
I don't know. I'm not going to call him when I'm on vacation.
Right.
No offense.
Yeah, sure you're not. When we were on vacation, we never called each other.
No. We're on vacation.
Right.
No offense.
Right.
So yesterday, his son, Sonny, texted me asking me to put beef jerky away that may have been sent to Craig in his refrigerator. So I was asking Big Mac, does that count as Craig reaching out to me yet again?
Yes.
Or does it not because it was his son? I think it's Craig reaching out to me.
Oh, no question. Yeah. It's almost more because why would he involve his son in it?
It's a great point. Like, why the hell does he have to ask me to put his... By the way, I never found the beef jerky.
I thought his son had to go back to school. I thought that was the whole thing.
Yeah, they're together.
Mm. Well, I thought he was on vacation. The son went back to school. Now Sonny's like all on vacation.
You're eating beef jerky now?
No, I'm not. Apparently, beef jerky was sent to him.
Okay.
And he wanted it in his refrigerator.
I see.
I never found the beef jerky. So I think someone may have stolen the beef jerky. But it ain't my problem. So two things. Number one, tonight the Baltimore Ravens play a preseason game against the Tennessee Titans.
Okay.
Will you be watching this game tonight? You're not intrigued by this game?
No.
So the
Are you?
Yes.
Why? Can you tell me why?
I'm going to tell you why.
Please tell me why.
The Baltimore Ravens, for no reason whatsoever, have won 20 consecutive preseason games.
And that means something?
It's insane. How the hell have they won 20 consecutive preseason games? It's not like they're playing.
What is that game? Was it on ESPN, this game?
I think you need like the, they have this new NFL Plus that they're selling, mm-hmm. which I'm a sucker, so I already bought. Because I kind of like the rewind, but whatever. It's not
Well, you got to have, for Thursday night now, you got to have Amazon, right?
You do have to have Amazon. But I just find it mind-boggling because normally I wouldn't care about a Ravens-Titans preseason game, but you don't.
They've won 20 straight? That is amazing.
Bro,
what's the all-time record? That got to be it, right?
What?
Has to be.
And, like, I've never looked into Ravens preseason games, but someone wrote an article in Baltimore. So I was like, well, what the hell's going on? And they were explaining that the Ravens don't even play their regulars more, that it's simply that the guys who are battling for the roster spots.
They feel compelled to keep the streak going.
Yeah. They're playing hard. They're playing well.
Wow.
And so they're going to try to win their 21st consecutive preseason game. I find the whole thing absolutely bizarre. As far as the NFL overtime is concerned.
Yeah, what is it?
In the playoffs this season. Based
the regular season overtime is going to stay the same.
Remains the same.
Okay.
In the NFL playoffs, because of what happened in that classic game between Kansas City and Buffalo.
Right.
Even if you score a touchdown on the opening possession of overtime, the other team will get a chance to possess the football.
Okay.
So they're guaranteeing that. You know,
Both
teams get it. And obviously, we've seen this impact major postseason games. The Super Bowl with the New England Patriots when they made the great comeback against Atlanta.
Right. Well, there's been a lot of games that we could go on that were impacted by the sudden death overtime.
Right. Even before they changed the rule to
going
begin
back
with.
To Alan Ameche.
Right. So, first of all, do you like this?
It doesn't kill me. I mean, it's okay.
It doesn't fix the issue, though.
No, it doesn't fix the issue.
Like, if the Buffalo Bills play the Kansas City Chiefs again, and let's say the Bills score first, they score a touchdown, and now the Chiefs score a touchdown, then the Bills get the football and they can just win the game.
Right. So that's how it is.
Yeah.
That's it. After that, there's no. It doesn't keep going.
Right, but here's my question for you.
So in other words, one team scores, the other team scores, the next team gets the ball, and they score, they win the game.
That's it, yeah.
Each possession, then sudden death.
Field goal or whatever.
Yep.
Okay. Then it goes into sudden death. So this is guaranteeing both teams can score a touchdown.
Right.
But you may run into the same problem that people have been complaining about, which is, well, that's not fair. It was decided by a coin. Well, isn't it the same thing? If one team gets the ball first, they get two possessions, you get one. Like, we're going to get and I've never complained about it because I've understood the rules, like, hey, go play defense. But for anyone who's complained about it, aren't you still going to complain about it?
Yeah. There's always going to be a complaint.
Right.
There's always going to be a complaint.
So it doesn't solve the issue.
Not really. Not really.
The other thing is, and look, we can't picture this world because we're not the Kansas City Chiefs or the Buffalo Bills yet.
Yet.
Hopefully someday we are. But if we had this big, high-octane offense.
What a pain.
With a franchise quarterback.
Right.
And
what's that?
I have no idea.
What's that?
And the Chiefs score a touchdown.
Right.
And now we get the ball, and we score a touchdown.
Right.
Isn't there a party that says, let's just end it, let's go for two?
You know what? There's something to that.
That's the one caveat that could happen. Like, if the Bill-Chief thing happened with these new
rules. That's the reason the Ravens didn't make the playoffs last year.
Right.
Harbaugh twice.
He went for it.
Went for two-point conversions to win the games and lost.
And I liked
it. And didn't make it.
I liked it.
Look, it's a gutsy move.
It didn't work.
I think you need to be a coach with cachet to do it, though.
Well, let's see.
You know what I mean?
I'll ask
you this. I don't know if Robert Saleh is doing that.
If the Chiefs play the Bills again.
Right.
And it's the same thing. If you are either head coach. Aren't you saying I'm not giving them the ball again? I'm going for two, and the game will end on this play?
I think it's something you got to think about.
Yeah. So
I think it's something you got to think about. I don't think it's crazy. I don't think it's crazy.
Now, Big Mac made the point, and you make the point because it's your point. I didn't agree with you. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I was just thinking, would you take the ball second, knowing that you would up to them, the first team, if the touchdown is scored, you could always have that in your back pocket of going for two if they don't, obviously. And also, there's something to me knowing if I need to score a touchdown, now I have four downs, where if you're the first team, you're gonna kick it, you're gonna do something else on fourth down. Now I have legitimately four downs to try and make the play. It would add that element of possibly being, you know, not necessarily taking the ball in overtime. Although, to your point, you want the ball third, obviously. But I think there's an element where you could possibly now not take the ball.
I wouldn't do it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if I'd do that either. And the other thing is, too, if you're the team that scores first, I doubt you're going to go for two.
That's what I'm saying. So you're not going to go for two.
You put yourself in a bad position. If you don't get it, now you're in trouble.
Second team, you may. Right.
100%. But the problem with that is I want the ball potentially twice compared to the other team getting it once.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Which is ultimately where this may go in this quarterback-driven league of offense.
But to your point, say that same game happens again, Kansas City-Buffalo, Kansas City scores. I'm Buffalo. I don't care because I'm not having a third possession.
Right, I'm going for two.
I'm in my mind, what do I care playing for the third possession? I'm not playing a third possession.
Mm-hmm.
I'm either winning the game there or it's over.
It's a gutsy move, you know, but it's you know, you get something to consider.
Yeah. Oh, I definitely think you have to consider.
Yeah. Yeah.
No question about it.
Yeah.
The other thing is, and this one's for you, I read that the officials are going to put a point of emphasis on illegal contact.
Oh, come on.
Just so you know.
What are they doing? You know, you know, Roger Goodell, we all agree the guy's a horrific commissioner, okay? He's terrible. Why? Why? There's enough with the rules and with the officials and how these guys can change the game at a whim. Do we need to put more on illegal contact?
Oh, it's a terrible idea.
Oh, my. And it's the worst penalty in the world.
Of course, 3rd and 20.
5-yard first down.
Yeah, 3rd and 20, I got to stop.
Absurd.
Oh, wait a second. There's a flag. Illegal contact first down.
Right.
Like, who the hell wants that?
It's terrible.
I did read in fairness that they're going to try to be more careful with officials throwing flags on a guy like tapping the helmet of a quarterback, that they don't want to be aggressive. And well, you know what? It is.
There's too many
deal.
Officials.
No, but I agree. But if they're actually going to do that, they're going to call less roughing the passer penalties. That's a good
thing. That's good.
If they do it.
It's good. It also depends on who the quarterback is that's getting roughed. I mean, let's be honest. There's something to that, too. Ask Cam Newton.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right?
There's always a different handling of it. That's for sure.
Terrible.
Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stuart?
Stu.
Hey, Joe and Evan.
What's up, Stu?
Hey, Joe, 25 more days for the big showdown for Notre Dame and Ohio State.
Is that opening day they're playing each other?
Yeah, September 3rd.
Wow, I didn't know that. Where is that game? In Columbus?
Yes, that's in Columbus. Yeah, wow. They're a 15-point underdog.
Well, they should be. I mean, what do you want me to tell you?
Yeah.
You know, you know what? Notre Dame should be in the Big Ten. You know, everybody in there. Now you're going to have, how about this? USC and UCLA are going to the Big Ten?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. What a world, man.
Yeah. Notre Dame should be in the Big Ten. Get out of the ACC and go where you belong, Notre Dame, please. Please.
Yeah, as far as the Mets go, I'll tell you, Epler, he hit the lottery with Ruff, Vogelback.
With everybody. No, Epler's hit the lottery with everybody.
Well, in fairness, yeah, I like the moves. It's been a week. You know what I mean?
But they've been a major upgrade over was at DH before
that. I agree.
I mean, it's not even close.
And the reason I like the moves at the time is that if you look at Ruff's numbers versus lefties and Vogelback's numbers against righties, and that's pretty much exclusively where they're going to come play, and you combine them even this season with their previous teams, it's an all-star player.
Yeah.
It's a 260, 20 home run player.
Yeah.
So if Buck uses them properly, they can take advantage of the matchups in front of them. I'm just saying it's been a week. So while I love the trade so far, if Tyler Naquin goes through an 0-for-35, our opinion may be different.
Yeah, well, I don't think he's going to play, you know, enough on a regular basis to go 0-for-35.
Yeah, I think the way he's playing, he's going to play against most righties. Coming up this weekend against Philadelphia, they face a lefty on Friday, Ranger Suarez.
Right.
And then they got back-to-back lefties, Aaron Nola, Zach Wheeler.
Right. So righties, you mean.
Righties, I'm sorry. Yeah. Back-to-back righties.
Right.
So you already know who's playing.
Right.
Big Vogelback's playing against the righties.
Right.
Ruff's playing against the lefties. Canna, even though he doesn't kill lefties, is going to play, obviously, over Tyler Naquin against the lefties. So they're going to play in those favorable matchups. But all I'm saying, I'm cautioning, because I like the moves. it's only been a week before we announced that these are the greatest steals in the history of baseball.
Yeah, but there is a certain karma going on with this team.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no question about it. You know, I want to get back, though, quickly to the college football stuff, okay? Yeah. I mean, what's going on here? So what's going to happen in a couple of years? Now, you got Texas and Oklahoma going into the SEC this year, right? Aren't they going into the SEC this year? Or is it this year? Next year?
I thought it was next year.
They got one more year in the Big 12.
So, one more year before they come to the SEC.
The Big 12 is going to be disbanded. There's going to be no more Big 12.
Well, I think we're headed towards a super conference, aren't we not?
Well, the Big 12 is looking to add Oregon potentially and Utah in the next couple of years and Colorado.
So the Pac 12 is going to be destroyed.
Oh, Pac 12 is a joke.
Yeah. That's gone.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's going to be gone.
Not yet.
Because the ACC has what, 15, 14 teams? The SEC is going to have 16 or 18. Same thing in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah, we're headed towards three major conferences.
That's it.
I think four is what it ends up being because I think it just works out better that way. But at the end of the day, it's getting really small out here.
Yeah.
If you're not in one of those three, it's hard to be the champion.
No, that's it. That's it.
That's the new world order of college football.
It is.
And it started a while ago, obviously.
Well, when the Big Ten started bringing in, you know, Nebraska, Rutgers.
No doubt.
The SEC brought in Texas A&M.
Or even the demise of the Big East with football.
Right.
You saw it back then.
Right.
So I think, 10 years from now, maybe longer, 20 years from now, there's going to be one conference. Like,
one major conference?
Or they're going to cut deals together, and it's just going to be like a super conference.
Wow.
I think that's where we're heading in college sports.
Yeah, it could be.
It's weird, though. I mean, it's weird to think of those schools in
USC
the Big Ten.
USC in the Big Ten.
I know.
UCLA in the Big Ten.
It's crazy.
That is crazy.
But you know what? UCLA, Ohio State, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
It'll be enjoyable.
Texas, Alabama. If Texas ever gets good again, I don't know.
No kidding.
It's been a long time.
It's weird, man, but that's where it's headed. It's where it's been going for a while. Joe and Brick. What's going on, Joe?
Hi, Joe.
Bro, how you doing?
What's up, man?
Hey, you playing golf or what?
Am I playing? I'm trying.
Good. It's good to hear your voice. I got off the train today. I hear my boys back together.
Well, thank you, Joe.
Hey, Joe, so my question for you and Evan, what's up, buddy? I listen every day, but I miss man, Joe. Joe, what makes you happy this year with Jets? What's the end all record you're looking for?
Winning season.
That's the bar.
Winning season. That's it.
How about the old Wilpon line? Fred Wilpon once said something, and I think...
Meaningful September baseball?
Yeah, meaningful December football games.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, get me to December, and it's not going to be like the Giants 2 years ago where they played.
Yeah, but don't get me to December and then wind up still going like 7-10.
Oh, no, I agree. Obviously, you want to get there and win a few of them. Like, the Giants played meaningful December games 2 years ago, and most of it was because the division was awful.
That was the 6-10 team.
Right. So, obviously, that's not going to happen with the Jets because of their division. Like, that's not going to be a situation.
The Washington team, okay?
Yes.
They won the division with seven wins that year, right?
That's correct.
7-9.
And
when the Eagles laid down.
Yes, the Philadelphia Eagles.
And then Doug Peterson gets fired. Now he's coaching the Jaguars.
He quickly got back up.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
Oh, the Eagles laid down. That was terrible.
No doubt. And their reasoning still doesn't make sense all these years
later. They laid down because they didn't want the Giants to win the division.
And look, I know for Giant fans.
Let's be real.
You won six games. Joe Judge turned out to not be the answer.
Right.
I think we were all wrong about him because early on he made a really good first impression. What difference would it have made? Let's say they made the playoffs. Like, if anything, Joe Judge may have been back.
Yeah.
He may have been able to survive last year with at least saying, hey, we won an NFC East once.
Well, who beat him? They played Tampa. Tampa beat him in
Tampa
the first round.
Tampa beat him in Washington because they had to go on the road.
They played the whole day, won everything on the road.
Yes.
Except the Super Bowl was at home.
Of course.